This is Talk To Me, the official podcast of MetalNexus.net. Your host, Joshua Toomey, bring you epic rants, anecdotes, and interviews with heavy hitters from hardcore to hair metal. This is Talk To Me.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Talk To Me, the official podcast of MetalNexus.net. Make sure to head over to MetalNexus right now for all of your news, reviews, interviews, and the archives of the Talk To Me podcast. This is episode 175, and this is Kenny Olson, former guitarist of Kid Rock. We talk all about the Devil Without a Cause record. We talk some Joe C., and there's a special co-host on this episode, our good friend of the show, Jeremy Owsley, former tour bus driver of Kid Rock. So they get going on some tour stories. I just sat back and let them talk for a little bit. It was a fantastic episode. So glad to have Kenny Olson on the podcast once again, talking all things Kid Rock, Joe C., and so much more. This episode was recorded at the Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo in Nashville, Tennessee, at the legendary Nashville Palace. Make sure you guys go next year because they're already teasing Rockin' Pod Expo 2019. We'll go, we'll hang out, we'll have a beer. It'll be a lot of fun. So let's get into some classic Kid Rock right now. Let's talk to Jeremy Owsley and Kenny Olson, and I will talk to you guys momentarily.
It ain't nothing but a party, hey, from the early evening till the break of day. So step this way and let your mind be free. And by the way, welcome to the party.
Well, my name's Kid Rock, I'm a Capricorn. And Detroit City's where I was born. When I was young, I knew I'd always be a super live body rocking MC. I'm TNT, I'm dynamite, and I'ma rock this party all damn night. I got the gift to gab, I can walk the walk. Myself in them. I'm a hidden gem, a rolling stone. I'm a one-man band with a microphone here to make you shake and move your body. So come on in and welcome to the party.
It ain't nothing but
Rock. Can I do my thing? Can I have a little something to say right here?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, baby.
I'm a real life show. You can watch me throw. I'm the M to the L, and I'll let you know. Alizé's too sweet, and beer make you fat. I got a pound of date and a gallon of cognac. I'm all of that in a bag of chips. I'm a whole damn party mix. I'm the chick that sings all that class. So you can party with me, or you can kiss my...
Welcome.
98 Kid Rock shit, bro.
I'm an Irish lad, but don't call me Clancy. I'm gonna rock it for Dixie to suit your fancy. Rock your pants off and party my dick off. People wanna know when's the tour gonna kick off. I'm no ripoff, it's all original. Not too political, a little cynical about the fakes. The squad, the straight talk, a lot of caca. Know a lot of chicks that like to call me Papa. Don't start drama, Max in the Bahamas. Rock on the dance floor to Din Dada. Cause I'm a player that you love to hate. Got your girl sucking dick on videotape. Underwater shooting bubbles up your ass. I'm so crass that I'm the last of my kind. Me, Slick Willie in the DC shrine. Sometimes I rhyme just for kicks. Forget the bullshit and bust like this. I don't steal from the rich and give to the poor. I take from my bitches and give it to my whores. What up? I'm saying everybody. You get fucked up and I'll rock the party. Rock the party. Rock the party. Rock the party.
All right, sitting here at the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo 2018 with special co-host Jeremy Owsley, but more importantly, special guest Kenny Olson, man. How you doing?
Good. How's everyone doing out there?
Good, good, man. We are just living the dream here. You know, we are all three Hendersonville brethren at this point, right?
It is.
I love the fact that 2 seconds ago you were talking about, do you know this person at Kroger? You know, so much fun.
I mean...
Yeah, we know all the local Hendersonville stuff, and you and I used to haunt the streets of Hendersonville together back in the early 90s there.
You guys had a gang, didn't you?
Freshman in high school, right, Josh?
Oh. Yeah, we definitely. I've known Jeremy for a very long time. Actually, my first job ever was Kroger in Hendersonville.
Krogering with Jeremy?
That's true. I used to work there, and I'd carry out Johnny Cash's groceries a couple of times. I carried out Trisha Yearwood's groceries. Lori Morgan, tons of them country folk that, you know, live around the area and all.
Well, you were right. You know, told me all along back in the day when I moved down to Nashville that, you know, I should move out there. And I mean, I've only been there since November, but last November, and I love it. I was out on the lake last Sunday, I think it was. Went to my gig with sunburnt shoulders, guitar strap irritating it. No one warned me to put sunscreen on.
So you've known Jeremy since, I'm assuming, did you drive them?
Oh, yeah.
What tours?
I met Mr. Kenny Olson is the first fella from the Kid Rock entourage that I met. We were down in Leesburg, Florida, which was the big bus ranch of the bus company I was working for. As a young rookie, I was still trying to get off the ground. Yep. And Kid Rock was coming through to get his bus worked on, and... couple of the band guys were kind of floating around, and Kenny was one of the ones I went up and struck up conversation with.
That's remember we did the zip line thing too?
Yeah, we did the zip line. We threw axes.
Oh, yeah.
And that place, well, just so people kind of know what we're talking about, it's where, sadly, where Randy Rhoads met his demise in that plane crash. But we had a great time, zip lines, and I remember my dad and you and all talking with Bob. Yeah. And my dad telling Bob, I'm looking for the right tour to get my son on the road. I need two buses.
Yeah.
And I need guys that'll work with us, you know, let me run with him and be in CB radio range with him. And I remember Bob was just like, shit, let's roll.
Yeah.
You know, and Bob was ready to take a chance on me and kind of really helped get me going in this business. And we had some great tours.
We were family. That was awesome. We got to do it again.
Yeah, I hope
you
do.
We will.
So what are your memories of Jeremy as a bus driver? Was he rumble strip? Was he all over the place?
No, he kept it good. I used to sit up there in the suicide seat, you know, up there next to him. That's what we call the seat next to the driver up there, because if you do crash, you're going through the windshield and, you know, there's no hope for you at that point.
You know, one thing I remember about you, Kenny, we ended the tour in Detroit. On the Metallica tour we did.
Yep.
We dropped you guys off in Detroit, and you left about a half a bottle of Jim Beam opened on the counter.
Yep.
I'm driving the bus home, and I get from Detroit the 550 miles all the way back to Nashville, and I'm pulling on my street, and the bottle of Jim Beam rolls off the counter and hits the floor, and I'm like, damn, that Kenny Olson left that bottle of whiskey.
Did you send Kenny Olson a bill for cleanup?
Oh, man, I wouldn't do that. We have such good times out on the road.
Those are great years there. We saw a lot of, he came out, we were out with, especially those Metallica tours were insane too.
Yeah.
And of course they had two back lines.
Right.
So like you have a day off in between, but they already have another crew of buses and stage, like already going to the next venue, and we had to, you know, keep up with their, so they're all enjoying their day off, flying in on their plane, and we're like, you know.
Flying to get to the next
town.
Boys,
we got a 15-hour trip. Can't play from state to next joining state. You know, it's got to be, you know, we got to hop, skip across America.
So being in a touring band and being in a bus, I only did one tour in a bus as a musician. I know Jeremy's done a ton of tours driving. You know, what do you look for in a bus driver? You know, what are maybe some of your horror stories of terrible bus drivers?
You know, we're pretty blessed. I've never, we stuck, you know, the family, we, you know, it was not just one tour. I mean, Jeremy and his dad, we did numerous tours and stuff. I mean, when you got family, you got family. So we never, you know, everybody that we had was, you know, good. And we always would joke about the rumble strip.
Right, yeah.
You know, and if someone was rumble stripping it, that was the pre-name they were given. It was whatever their name was. We were rumble strip whoever.
Rumble strip Jeremy over here. Are you a light sleeper on the bus? Or are you a pass out and just let me know when we get there kind of guy?
Well, let's see. Depends on what era we're talking about.
What drugs were you on at the time? Is that what we're saying?
No, I mean, eventually you learn to be friends with the road and you try to enjoy getting, you know, some good sleep. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's, you know, we kind of would blow it because here we'd have this great, you know, workout on stage, you know, 2-hour show, but, you know, we'd all, you know, used to kind of not argue, but disagree about what we wanted for after show food.
Right.
But then we'd all end up eating. So we'd have like, remember that we'd have like 5 different kinds of food. You go to Mexico or Italy or wherever, but then you're sitting there and it's like, here you get this great workout in, and all of a sudden you're on the bus at 1 o'clock in the morning and you're eating a taco and an egg roll and a slice of pizza and everything else. And then you're like, and those nights, you pretty much get in the bunk and you're like comatose.
Yeah. Speaking of after show food, you totally just reminded me of a Kid Rock road story. I remember we played somewhere one night, and I got a pretty good memory. Yeah. I think we were in Evansville, Indiana.
Right on.
And we were kicking off a tour. It was the first night. And I remember coming out to the bus and a whole bunch of people always on the band bus having drinks, party and whatnot. Everybody leaves the bus. And I remember Stephanie, the drummer, she gets up from the table and then she goes to a bottom bunk and pulls the comforter back and reveals like 3 whole pizza boxes and brings them out. She goes, I have to hide our after show food or all our guests will eat all our food.
He did.
We used to hide our food so we could have some pizza rolled down the road.
We used to have to hide, I mean, because you learn before, before we were really up and running, you know, you have your learning experiences before we got with like, you know, with Jeremy and his dad and, like, you know, started using real professional bus drivers. We had, we were idiots back in the early days because we just let whoever on our bus and be like, laptop's missing, cash from the show the other night's missing. I mean, shit would just, you'd let people on there. And that's the fact that we had this old Eagle that was just a, God, did you ever see that one our first bus that we had back in the,
I remember hearing the stories when y'all were on Warped Tour or something like that.
Yeah, it was like that thing was like a rolling Petri dish.
And y'all were doing the number 2 on the bus. You didn't know you weren't supposed to be doing that.
Well, remember the, there was the one, that one girl. Remember the girl that I put the fart machine behind the pillow? And she got really mad and was
I guess I was there for that.
She started yelling at everybody on the bus and, so she obviously was asked to leave, and then she was yelling at the back of the bus, and the cops came and handcuffed her, and she ended up, like, kicking a cop in the nuts.
Oh, my God. God.
This girl was and all was instigated because me and Cracker put a fart machine behind a pillow while she was in the bathroom. And we did it because she gave us an attitude because she was going in the bathroom. I said, you can't put any toilet paper in the toilet. You got to put in the trash. And she thought I was just being sarcastic and gave me like this like nasty look. So Matt and I, right there on the counter, is the fart machine and the remote. I'm like, ha-ha, shenanigans time. I didn't know the poor girl would end up getting that mad and kicking a cop in the balls. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't even know where to go with that. Let's talk. We're about a week out, but Double Without a Cause just turned 20. You know, what are your thoughts and memories of that?
It was it's pretty amazing. I'm pretty honored that we got to. We really blew up in that last era where it was really people buying records and stuff, and to be. I mean, I never thought when we were making that record, because we pretty much just went in there and wrote it on the spot and just got all the beautiful mistakes and just the vibe about it, but I never, when Jason Flom signed us, he goes, I'm going to make this record as big as Appetite for Destruction. I was like, all right.
Say that to every new band you sign.
But all of a sudden by the time we played Woodstock, we were doing really well, and that just blew it right over the edge. So we were like pretty much going. I don't know the exact stats on the record, but I know it's like in the top. You know, we're right up there with some amazing people like the Beatles, Michael Jackson, and Guns N' Roses. All these people for best-selling debut albums.
It's diamond.
Yeah, I mean,
it's diamond.
Yeah, diamond and passed and. But so it's,
is it one of those things like, obviously maybe not like the Black Album, but I mean it's still selling X amount of copies a week, kind of thing. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I mean it's too hard. It's so you got to be like a rocket scientist to figure out royalties and where the money's going nowadays. I'm like, but everybody's been affected by that. You know, you're pretty much.
I know they always talk about like mailbox money, but I mean, I'm assuming at this point it's direct deposit money. So are there days where you open up your bank account and you're like, where the fuck did that come from?
But it's negative. What did I do last night?
What did I do last night? I woke up fucking A, yeah.
Wait a minute, I didn't do that. No, occasionally, you got to look out for that fraud out there.
Yeah.
I did have one of those episodes where someone... they were like down in Mexico or something, just racking up it was a debit card too.
Yeah.
It's not as bad when it's a credit card. You can just dispute it and be like, hell with that. I didn't do that. But once your debit card, you got to get your money back. And it's like, you got to be very diligent about your process of doing it. And I had one of those ones. I looked at my account and I was like, oh, what the heck? It was like thousands of dollars out of there. And I was like, oh, what happened? It was like, somebody in Mexico with my number, and I had just been in Arizona. Remember when they were doing all that fraud stuff? And I was actually out there. I think it was when I was doing the Alice Cooper golf outing thing, and I was out there. And it's sure enough, it was like a month later, I'm out there. I'm back home here, and it was like, where's all this? What?
I had that one day. I was laying down to take a nap, and then my phone just started going off with all these like alerts. My account was overdrawn, and I looked at it. It was one charge in Seoul, Korea. Yeah. And I called the bank, and the first question, she goes, have you done any traveling to Korea? And I was like, no. And I assume if I had gone to Korea, I would have more than one charge.
Yeah, exactly.
They luckily, gave all the money right back and fought it. But
they'll do all kinds of scams. I mean, I had someone call me the other day trying to tell me they can lower my interest rate on my car, but started asking for all this weird information. And the call failed, disconnecting. I called back, and this lady answers, and it was a whole different thing. And it was one of their employees that cloned the thing, and they were, using their system and saw that I just paid off a credit card. And they were, trying to, see that you paid off this, and they had all this information. And I almost fell for it. And then, fortunately, the call failed, and when I called back, the lady was like, we're not your credit card company. We're connected with I was like, ooh.
Wow.
Like 3 to 4 bullshit. Yeah, I get like 3 to 4 bullshit calls a day, and it's crazy. I don't know where they're all coming from, but my friend Smiley got one last week. He answers his phone and goes, "Hey," he goes, "what color panties are you wearing?" And the lady goes, "Okay, I guess this call's over." Click and hung up. Yeah. And I go, "That's a good way to scare them off."
Oh, yeah, that is. I'm going to try that.
Yeah, I'm going to start trying that too. I get three or four calls a day.
That's a good technique.
Smiley's a good Hendersonville resident, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I vaguely know. I know him through the T-shirt collection on your Facebook. Jeremy, do you have any other Kid Rock tour stories?
I have many, actually. I really enjoy touring with these guys. I was very young and brand new in the business, and they were kind of willing to give me a chance and let me go out there.
All we ever did was watch the 700 Club every day.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's right. We did, yeah. and we had the best time in the world doing it. It was great. I wouldn't trade those memories for the world. I had a lot of fun with these guys.
Could only talk.
There's no telling what, especially in this like Me Too movement. Have you ever been afraid that you're going to wake up one day to a Me Too movement hashtag Me Too? You know, Kenny Olsen story.
What's that? Oh wait, now what's that?
Are you afraid that you'll ever wake up to one of those stories?
I've already. It's been such a crazy ride. Nothing would faze me.
Nothing would faze you.
If a unicorn walked in here right now and sat down at the table with us, I'd be like, "What's up, dude?
How you doing?" Well, cool, man. Yep. Well, what are you up to musically? Let's wrap this up with what you're up to musically these days.
Well, I've got a bunch of stuff going on. I've got my band 7 Day Binge. We got a new record about to drop. We recorded that this over the winter. We've got a solo project I'm doing with a lot of really, really cool special guests, and I'm going around to a bunch of different cool legendary studios and working with a lot of just amazing people while they're still here, because we've all lost very dear, amazing talents, and a lot of my good friends that were part of it have already passed, so I'm trying to, involve that a little bit with my new record as well. We're kind of doing a documentary along with it. And then I've also got a project. I've been going out to L.A. with me and Steve Perkins from Jane's Addiction and Norwood from Fishbone and Scott Page from Pink Floyd. We got a new band that we're doing, too, and we haven't figured out, when we're going to start recording the new stuff, but we got some good, really good momentum going with that as well, and I've been living here in Nashville. I'm always playing on other people's records and producing stuff too. And
it's definitely the town for that.
There's never a dull moment here.
Well, cool, man. Well, in honor of the 20th anniversary of Devil Without a Cause, what track would you like me to play off that to play us out of here?
Well, let's go with the title track. That way Joe C. gets to be part of it, because that's Little Smokey Joe.
My claims as a bus driver, I always tell people I was Joe C's last bus driver on his final tour with the Kid Rock entourage.
You were. Remember that?
Twisted Brown Trucker. I was Joey's last bus driver.
His last show was, remember, we were in Alabama, the last show.
That's right.
And he died like 2 weeks later. And here's the funny thing about Joe. I could tell you stories for days. His last show, me and Stephanie and Joe, Joe was in the bathroom, and he was getting mad at me and Stephanie because we were throwing grapes over the stall. And he's like going, "Oh, God damn it," and like, so he comes out and he pours honey on the fruit bowl to try and sabotage me or Stephanie, wait till they grab another thing of fruit. And he's like walking out there thinking it's all funny. He totally forgot what he did. And he reached down and he grabbed it was like an orange or an apple, and honey all over. He's like, his line was always like, "Ass." Remember how he'd always say that when he was pulling out something? "Oh, ass." Yeah. And he says that and he grabs it. And there's this big framed glass picture on the wall, and he throws it, and the thing just smashes glass everywhere, right? And then at this point, Stephanie and I had already Stephanie and I were kind of into we'd already thrown all those grapes, they were all over the bathroom because we were throwing them over the toilet, at Joe, and he was getting pissed. And then I think there was maybe a salami slice or something I might have thrown on the ceiling and stick it there too. We were pretty much respectful to dressing rooms.
this particular one kind of took a beating that day. And there was shit everywhere, pretty much. So, Joe, we get fought. So me and Stephanie and Joe, when Joe's one broke, fixed Stephanie, I had to pay for everything that Joe broke. So he escaped out on. Like Stephanie and I, like look around, like she calls me up. She's like, "Kenny, did you get a fine too?" And I was like, "Yeah, you're getting me and you for like $3,000."
Wow.
Clean up.
I got off. Yeah.
Stephanie and I had to fill it, you know.
One of my favorite things about Joey was during that time, you remember y'all did The Simpsons.
Yep.
And I remember asking Joe, I was like, dude, that's like one of my favorite things in the world, The Simpsons. Yep. What was it like being on The Simpsons? Joey was like, there was nothing to it, man. He's like, they came over and recorded my voice tracks right in my living room. And he goes, so to me, there was nothing to being on The Simpsons, really.
There's so many. With Joe C., I mean, I could write a huge-ass novel of hilarious stories with hanging with Joe C. Plus we got to meet all the famous vertically challenged people because they all, you know, Joe had that fan base and there was like, Mini V was my boy anyways. Yeah. You know, Vern, Michigan boy. Vern and I have had some good hangs. I've held Vern in the air to let him do some motorboating.
Oh, dude, that's so awesome.
Let me help you out, Vern, here. Let me give you a boost.
I remember Joey standing with a plate of pasta on the bus one day, and he's holding his plate of pasta, and he's asking me, he goes, hey, does that microwave on this bus work? And I was like, well, hell yeah, it works. And I walked off, and I didn't even think, oh, wait, Joe wanted me to put the food in the microwave because he couldn't reach it.
He'd always wake me up at 4 in the morning when he had to heat up his...
Yeah. Yeah,
man, I love Joe. I
miss him. He was a lot of fun.
My little Scorpio brother. We have so many, I mean, stories for days. But one of the coolest stories, though, is, there's too many of them. You know, because a lot of people would think he was 6 years old. I remember one time we got off this plane, and he, this like older, you know, guy with his business suit and his little tote bag, and he bumped into Joe, and he's like, I'm sorry, young man. He goes, Joe, he's like, look at me like I'm his dad. Sorry, sir. And Joe just looks at me and goes, yes, you fucking asshole. You know, like this, this guy's looking at me like, you let your kid talk that way. But leading into, we were in the early years when we just had gotten signed, we did this promo shot thing, and it was Joe with these two strippers.
Right.
And when they were developing the film, they called someone, the film people called and thought it was like some sort of child, you know, frog, whatever, like
that. Yeah, yeah.
So, like, people were calling me, like, Kenny, turn on the TV, the news, and they say, child, you know, bus or not. And they get Joe interviewing, he's sitting there saying a swear word every other word, like, I'm motherfucking 21 years, 23 years old, you know, all this stuff. But it was the most hilarious thing.
That's
because,
awesome.
I mean, that's how, you know, shock value was a big part of our success.
Well, yeah. So much fun, man. Kenny Olson.
A rock and roll circus of the late 90s. It really was. Joey was one of the integral pieces to make that circus work. You know?
We were all definitely a circus. We were from the Island of Misfit Toys, you know.
Well, Kenny Olson, man, thanks for the time today.
Thank you.
Thanks for all the support. Jeremy.
Thank you again for all the support.
Thank you for having
brother.
Me again, Josh. Appreciate it.
You knew that I was coming because you heard my name, but you don't know my game and never felt my pain. Can't read my brain, but you read my lips and got scared when you heard that I was coming with hits. Now don't even trip, be a man instead. Give thanks, I'm alive when I should be dead. I'm in the red because my mind's distorting. People claiming they know me, but they only know a portion. I'ma move mountains and touch the sun. Don't get scared now, you knew this day would come. So hold your bids, all bets are closed. And fuck all you hoes. Cause it's been a long time coming, but I finally broke. Like an egg, yo, that ain't no joke. Like some uncut damn motherfucking Kid Rock's to blame. Same game, same name, ain't a damn thing changed. No sellout, I ain't no hoe. Fuck the radio, coming from the R-O-M-E-O. Watch me throw like a fist of rage. Four bucks.
Mark from St. Clair Shores and drink specials at Winners. To New York City and $700 dinners. From hanging with sinners and secondhand cheap sex to getting much respect from top record execs. The cool kids coming up to call y'all out. So shut up now and put my balls in your mouth. Bet that ass horse, I ain't forgot when I was tossed in the dime bin and left to rot. Used to call me dummy when my nose was fucking runny. Now I'm fucking bunnies getting fucking Matchbox 20 money. Motherfuckers wanna claim they're down, but when it was broken down, I never seen them around. All the shit we talked, all the shit we dreamed, I did it without you, I got a brand new team. No triple beams, it seems like a movie. Bought two cribs, drop top, and jacuzzi. No more floozies, only high class hoes. Couple when it rains and a few when it snows. A brand new nose to go along with my habit. And a garden hose made out of 24 karat. Bought a couple parrots that like to squawk, and they sound like you. You talk, step inside my shoes, you couldn't fill them, Doc. You're too old to kid, too soft to rock. Already did what most love to shout. 7 years on wax, and I still ain't sold out. And there ain't no doubt in my mind that I'ma stop all over your test of time. I'm going platinum. I'm going platinum. I'm going platinum. We're going platinum. Devil without a cause. I'm going platinum.
Got a huge thank you to Elton for making all kinds of noise in the background. And this was the last of the Rockin' Pod Expo interviews. I didn't have a ton of interviews this year, but I got some quality ones, and you got a ton of content this week and last week. So we'll run down the list. Thank you to Tom Hazart. Huge thank you to Craig Gass. Thank you, Ron Keel. Thank you, Toby Wright, Kenny Olson, and a huge, huge thank you to Erie Vaughn of Danzig. So until Thursday, the 3-year anniversary of the Talk To Me podcast, I've been Joshua Toomey, and this has been the Talk To Me podcast.
And Elton Cash, Talk To Me.